bring more attention to the conflicts class.
You know, don't make a copy of that New York, because I, last meeting I Googled, the same thing came up, and I Googled it, and it really said seal just applies to employers, schools, landlords.
Yeah, every state is different.
So we need to get that into our brains.
Probably post it on our website someplace, too.
Well, that's an idea.
New York laws?
Well, not necessarily laws, but I mean,
just a notation.
Notation, FYI.
FAQ.
Saying a sealed, right, saying a sealed case isn't a part of, is not a part of.
I almost feel like we're giving legal advice.
Right.
It's the same thing in Massachusetts, too.
Put it in our list.
All we can say is, if you have a question about the meaning of any orders you have, please consult with an attorney.
I'd be tempted to say when in doubt, which one, but I guess we can't say that.
All right. Case number 12, 22-304.
Last but not least, please.
I'm gonna get a tattoo of that. I saw you on TV. Like a screenshot, I sent it to her. I thought I was having a nightmare or something there. Sportsman Channel.
Detective, can you please identify yourself for the record, spelling your last name and indicating the authority you're representing as well as your witness, please?
Sure, Detective Joseph Legan, L-E-G-E-N. This is Officer Brian Lindsay, L-I-N-D-S-E-Y, Stratford Police Department.
Detective, would you like to make an opening statement?
Just the appellant was denied on suitability based off of a past domestic and a suicide attempt.
Okay, sir, would you like to make an opening statement?
Sure. Let me just start by stating, I want to explain the two reasons I was denied. An explanation is not justification. I think that's an important statement because taking accountability, I think, is paramount to being a responsible gun owner. So if I could address the two reasons for the denial. The first reason, the suicide attempt. So the details behind that, that happened in 2008. So my wife and I had been married for 21 years at the time. Life was going pretty well. We were two kids, blessed life. But she began abusing alcohol and was a full, became a full-blown alcoholic. So my life basically went from being, pretty picture perfect to hell. that attempt was she ended up having an affair, and the person that I had poured 21 years into, it was a very painful moment. And I'm an emotional guy, so I hope I don't get emotional. But I won't go into all the details. So my thought process at that time was, she had found someone else that made her happy, but I couldn't stand to see her happy with someone else. So if I took myself out of the equation, then she could go on with her life and be happy. When I was taken to the hospital after the attempt, I ended up having to go to a psychiatric ward as, required. And when I sat down with the counselor, it was the first time I had ever heard the term codependent. I explained to her my thought process, and she's like, you realize you're codependent. I had no idea what that meant. So basically, my value was coming from her happiness. After leaving that, I was required to do, I couldn't find the paperwork to present, but I believe it was a 6 months of psychiatric treatment, but I want to say it was more than 6 months. So after finding that out, realizing that was a crazy thing that I had done, I realized that I did have value. I had two kids to care for. I still loved my wife, but I realized that, she had to deal with her own issues and work through that. So that was the reason behind that. Foolish decision, something I would, I thank God that I was rescued from that attempt and that I'm still here, and have lived, a very good life since then. And then the second, the domestic, so the they had, again, we were still dealing, this was prior, after the alcoholism, and I won't go into a lot of details, but that was, a call that came to the house, and I don't recall, to be honest with you, if she called or I called, because it's funny, we had some discussions when we were discussing me coming here for this appeal, and neither one of us can really recollect who made the calls. I think we called the police on each other several times. So that domestic, they came to the house. She had told them that I had destroyed the cabinets, which I had done, but the cabinets were destroyed prior to the suicide attempt. They weren't destroyed on what the record shows when they came, I believe in May, for that call. That was something I had done prior, because after the suicide attempt, that was kind of my bottom. You know, I started receiving psychological treatment. You know, I was in a trajectory of healing and getting over the pain. She was still dealing with the alcoholism. But that was the one thing she would tell everybody, you know, he destroyed my cabinets, and that was kind of repeated to family members, and it was the one thing she held against me. So I think it's important in context to realize that after the suicide attempt, I was on a trajectory of getting the help I needed and healing from that process. But, you know, it's unfortunate, and I don't think I've ever done this, but, you know, the issuing authority, I want to issue an apology for the arrest and my behavior at that time, because it was a really high emotional state. And, you know, with behavior that's unbecoming to me as a person. I mean, I've been around 57 years. You could see by the records that I've never had any criminal record, no violent record. So that was the result behind that. It was just a really tough emotional state. And for anybody who's had a family member struggle with alcoholism, it's a very, very tough disease to deal with. But again, that doesn't negate my accountability for my actions. So that's the explanation there. And then the other thing I would state is on my application, the two questions that could relate to these matters, you know, the hospitalization states that has it been 6 months within a 60-month period. This was 13 years prior to my application. And then the second question about an arrest or conviction, again, that states 6 months, with 60 months, which is 5 years. Again, the arrest was, not only was it 13 years prior, but it was nulled. So it wasn't something I even thought would be on my record. I think if an employee did a, you know, background check, that's not something that would show up from that position. So, but today, my wife and I, man, as painful as that process was, we learned a lot from it. And we're actually, we're actually stronger today than we've ever been. We're going to celebrate 36 years married this year. And it was a painful process, but both my wife and myself, she's very involved with AA. I mean, she's completely healed from her alcoholism. I'm involved with a ministry at my church called Celebrate Recovery. I'm a leader in that ministry. And that ministry, it's a ministry that helps people not only deal with substance abuse, but the phrase they coin is it's a ministry for anybody dealing with any hurts, habits, or hangups. So it relates to emotional things and codependency. So I've been involved in that for the last 5 years. So we're in a very good place today. So I would just ask the board to consider my lifelong, you know, this was a very dark period in my life. And that lasted, you know, a couple of years. But overall, you know, I've been a responsible citizen in my community. And even through this difficult time, I was able to still maintain my job, hold down responsibilities. I had a daughter in college at the time, which she'll be graduating with her PA degree in 2 months, which I'm very proud of. I have a son who, he's had some issues, but, you know, he's living with us and, you know, he's doing well. So so I would ask the board to consider again, I appreciate the opportunity to provide the details and the context behind these two issues, and would ask the board to consider granting my appeal. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. Detective, you may proceed with your case.
Okay. Start off, sorry you had to go through that in your life. It's not good for anybody. Also, I made a mistake. I forgot to include my packet, the report from the incident in Milford. I made copies for everybody. Yeah, it was the suicide attempt. I forgot that report in there. I have copies, including for the appellant, if anybody would like them. But if not, I mean, I could speak on it. It wasn't an arrest or anything like that. But
I think we had sufficient. I felt that there was sufficient detail in the packet that I reviewed. It described the.
Does anybody on the board? Does anybody on the board want to see the report? Okay, given that you passed the 10 days, why don't you just talk about it?
Sure, no problem. Yeah, so it was in December 2008. I don't know if they were Kmart employees, but they called police because they found behind a dumpster the appellant's car was parked behind the dumpster. They noticed a pipe going from, a hose rather, going from the exhaust pipe into the window. So the employees had pulled the hose out, called police. The police responded. The appellant at that point was unresponsive. They tried breaking the windows with nightsticks, but I guess there was a tint on there, so they were unable to do so. While they were starting to hit the windows, he woke up and he was able to open the door. They asked what he was doing, and he said, "It's very obvious, I was trying to kill myself." Also in the car, they found a bottle of Advil, which contained 150 pills, and he said he took 150 pills prior. They saw his phone, and he texted his friend at 3 o'clock in the morning saying, "Sorry for all lies, please take care of my wife and children." And then he was forced to go to the hospital. And nothing on his application reflected, he answered it accordingly. So none of that, you know, none of the arrests or anything like that he did wrong at all on his application. I did ask for any paperwork for treatment or anything like that, and I was not able to be provided any. So that was pretty much the incident in Milford, and he was open to discuss it as well. You know, he wasn't hiding it. Then there was, in 2009, there was an incident which it was nollied. However, I have the arresting officer here to speak on recollection to that. So if I can now. So this is Officer Lindsay. Officer Lindsay, in 2009, did you have a dealing with the appellant?
Yes.
Okay. Can you recall what the incident was or how you were made aware of the incident?
It was a wellness check that we received from a third party that was concerned about his wife, where his wife explained to this person that he was violently out of control, and he took an axe and split the kitchen cabinets open. So we went to the house that they were living in at the time. I observed the physical damage to the kitchen cabinets. Tried to interview his wife at the time. She was very dismissive, wouldn't look me in the eye, kind of afraid to speak in front of him. He kept kind of interjecting as I was trying to speak with her, asked him several times to go in another room so we can interview her separately. Then I proceeded to ask him for his identification. He reluctantly gave it to me and then just kept saying, "I want to go take a shower." For our safety, I didn't want to do that at the time. I just wanted to keep him where you could see him. He said, "Here's my ID, now you have your ID, I'm gonna go take a shower." Went to walk past me, I put my hand up, he brushed my arm aside. He went to go upstairs to take a shower or wherever he was gonna go. He probably got to the third or fourth step, and then I physically grabbed his arm and said, "You're not gonna go," and his body tensed up and we began to struggle. He fought with us and he was subsequently arrested.
And that's pretty much the gist of the arrest. That stuck out in your head to people? I mean, normally, that was 2009, but yet you did remember it, right? It's not really super common. I mean, we do fight with people from time to time, but those do tend to stand out in your mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not super common occurrence. Okay.
Sure. Do you have any questions of the officer?
I just wanted to know, just from the records that you guys submitted, were those the actual police reports written at the time of the incident, or those
there are
were prepared
in-house.
For this?
There are in-house records.
Okay.
From the,
And then the other thing, and I apologize, because whenever I contacted you, I kept calling you Detective Regan, but it's Legan.
It gets butchered left and right.
Do you recall a conversation when I had called you, because my wife and I had applied for our permits together? And then she got approved and mine had not come, so I was contacting you on the delay. Do you recall a conversation that I had with you when you had said to me, you had mentioned the Milford incident, and I said to you, "I had no idea what you're talking about," because it was 13 years prior, and I had no clue. And then you had mentioned to me that if it were up to you, you most likely would have approved it, but you have to submit it to your lieutenant or captain because of the information that you revealed, that was revealed.
That I don't recall saying.
That's fair. That's it.
I will note, I didn't ask if you had questions for the detective, but you asked him a question, okay. So no questions of either one of these gentlemen.
No.
Okay, does the board have a question of either the detective or the officer?
No.
Chief?
You mentioned something about medical records. Did you ask for medical records, but you did not get any?
Correct.
Did he just refuse?
He said he didn't have any.
Okay, the hospital must have that.
Did I speak to that? Because I...
I'm going to ask you...
We'll get there.
I did not check with the... I don't know which hospital.
No, I know you wouldn't be able to do that, but I didn't get it. You asked him for medical documentation. He said he didn't have any, so you didn't get any.
Correct.
Other questions by the board? Attorney Sinetti?
Yeah. There's a little variance on this axe situation. So he said it happened before the suicide attempt.
Right. I believe there was a call for service that we had that I did not respond to. Other officers did the night prior. I don't know when.
Right.
At that time, they were told everything was fine. And I think it happened after our initial response, in between our initial response until when I was there.
So when you got there, he wasn't wielding an axe?
No,
or
he was not.
Like
the damage,
but the damage has already been there.
Right, I can see the damage.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember what the damage looked like?
Like the cabinet doors on the top were split. Like
all
in
of
half.
Them?
Yeah.
How many were there?
At least three or four, I can remember.
Other questions? Yes.
I do have a, can I go back to the appellant for a second?
We didn't even really actually get to him yet, he had a long opening statement.
Okay.
Other questions? Any other witnesses, Detective?
I don't have any other witnesses.
Okay. Sir, so you had a pretty long opening statement, but is there anything else you'd like to tell us?
Yeah, just to the cabinet thing, I forgot something in my opening statement, the context of that. And again, you know, explanation is not justification. The reason I went after the cabinets was that was like when we moved into that house, I remodeled the kitchen. That was my wife's prized possession. So my thought process at that time was I got to do something that's going to hurt her as much as she's hurt me. So the cabinets were kind of what I attacked. So it wasn't some, you know, I don't know if that provides any context that makes sense, but the reason I chose to destroy the cabinets was because, you know, I had felt she caused me a tremendous amount of pain, and I felt, okay, what can I do to cause her? And that, you know, I know it's crazy even hearing me say it, but that was the thought process, just to provide context to that.
Detective, do you have questions of the appellant?
Did you ask your wife to come with you today to be like a character witness for you or anything like that?
I did not. She was working, but I mean, she would gladly come.
I wish she did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is that it?
That's it.
Okay. Questions of the appellant?
You may want to inquire here, but normally in a case where we have somebody who has had a suicide attempt, we like to see something from a mental health treating physician or wherever you went to say that you, right now you're fine, you don't pose a danger to anybody. Do you have any kind of documents like that?
Unfortunately not. I requested, so I went to Milford Hospital. I made a request from them for records, but I haven't heard back yet. I had the fax of it.
When did you request that?
I tried to do it so I can get it in prior to the 10-day window. So that was probably several weeks ago. Because honestly, what happened was my case was supposed to be in August, but it got moved up. So I kind of was caught off guard that the date changed. So I actually contacted an attorney because I was like, okay, I got to get this preparation done. And, you know, the attorney fees were, I mean, not that we, you know, we have the funds to support that, but my wife and I talked about it and we're like, you know, just go present your case on your own and see how that goes. But yeah, so I've been attempting to get those. I scoured the house to see if I could find anything on my own, because I do recall getting some release documents from the psychiatrist that I was seeing, but I'm not able to locate those.
And after the 6 months or however long it was after the attempted suicide and that on that treatment program was ended, had you had any other incidents where you sought psychiatric help?
No.
You're the expert on this.
Well, I'll just ask a few questions because I think you broadly outlined the events. The event was a serious and potentially lethal suicide attempt by asphyxiation with carbon monoxide. And before I ask you any questions, I'm glad someone discovered that and that you're here. You seem like you're a very nice guy, and I'm glad you're still around. My understanding is that you were appropriately sent to a hospital emergency room by the police evaluated there, and then you were admitted for an inpatient stay. How long was your inpatient stay?
Just to the best of your recollection. Yeah, I want to say 30 days. It was about 30 days.
And were you treated with any medications during that hospital stay?
No, I was not.
What was the nature of the treatment you received?
Just group meetings, one-on-one psychiatric treatment. And you know what, now that I have to stand corrected, it was less than 30 days, because I know my biggest, the incident happened July, look at the incident date. It was December in 2000. I remember wanting to be home for Christmas with my kids, so, and I remember getting released a couple of days prior to Christmas, so it might have been a couple of weeks.
Were you released on any medication?
No.
How soon after your discharge from the hospital did you begin your outpatient treatment?
That was required immediately, so I started that week and I was seeing a psychiatrist once a week.
So you saw a psychiatrist, and the nature of the psychiatric treatment was psychotherapy?
I believe so.
Talking to the psychiatrist. And how frequent was your psychotherapy?
Once a week.
And this was with a psychiatrist in, located where?
I believe in Wilton. She had a home office, so I believe it was in Wilton.
Okay.
Again, I've tried to find those records, but.
Do you recall her name?
I do not.
Did you feel comfortable working with her?
Oh, yes.
So you had individual psychotherapy. Was there any couples therapy ever involved, or was it solely with you, sir?
No, just we each did our own individual.
And you estimate that that lasted for approximately 6 months?
I would say a minimum of 6 months.
Okay. Yes. Whose decision was it to end the therapy?
The therapist.
And did she make any recommendations to you at the end of the therapy? Or
she did say to follow up, you know, if things became, you know, emotionally or things started to change, to make sure I contacted her and we could continue, but that was about it.
Okay. And since that time, have you sought counseling or therapy from any other type of mental health professional?
No, not at a professional level, but like I said, with my church involved in the Celebrate Recovery Group, mm-hmm. talking to pastors at the church, have a really good support network of people around me.
So is that program a program that you both, that you participate in as a participant as well as a facilitator? How does that work?
Yeah, so I participate, so when we started it, when we launched it at my church, my wife and I both were doing it, and then COVID hit, so all in-person meetings were shut down. Mm-hmm. So I continued after her. She decided to focus more on her AA group, which has really been helpful for her. So yes, I participate in weekly meetings. We meet every Tuesday, but I'm also one of the considered ministry leaders. So I facilitated training other leaders and developing other leaders and being a sponsor for other people in the group.
What is your use of alcohol?
None.
Have you ever used alcohol?
I did. I stopped drinking alcohol in 1987. I'll have a beer occasionally, but I have a beer for, you know, trying different flavors of beer, but I don't drink.
And just to clarify, you have never in your life received a prescription for a psychiatric medication to deal with either depression or anxiety or any other behavioral or psychological symptoms?
No, I have not.
Okay. Thank you.
Other questions by the board, Chief?
Tell us about other suicide thoughts or ideas you had prior to that incident.
Prior to that?
Have you thought about it before?
No. That was.
You thought about it after?
No.
So you went right from never having any thought or threat of suicide to a full-on attempt.
Where you
clearly almost died. Right. You were probably minutes away.
Right.
How would that have been different if you had access to a handgun?
Yeah, I might have used it, might not have used it, I don't know.
Probably
I mean, if I think about that, I don't know.
You probably wouldn't have had the second chance.
Yeah.
I'm also, and as everyone here is going to be concerned about the lack of medical records. Records are there, they're easy to get from a hospital, at least the discharge, the initial entry and discharge. Most places, in my experience anyway, doctors tell me otherwise, but they're accessibly apply online and they either email to you. It's that easy. Maybe 13 years ago, maybe not, but you'd have to go, which just seems like it'd be easy. You're asking us to take your word when we would, I personally, I won't speak for everybody, would like to see the records of what happened, the treatment they had. So it's very difficult to, for me to overcome actual suicide attempt. We get lots of cases where people make statements. I don't want to live, things like that. Very, very few where someone has actually made a serious attempt and was almost successful. That's more of a statement than anything. But I just want to make sure you do not have any records. You don't have any records.
No, like I said, I attempted to get them, and matter of fact, because of all the changes in the hospital systems, when I called, it was Milford Hospital at the time. They're now under the Yale New Haven banner. And when this person I spoke to on the phone, she told me, she goes, you could submit the form, but most likely we're not going to have those. That's what I was told. I did submit the form anyway, because I didn't know what the outcome of this appeal would be, just to have those for
did
any future appeals.
Did you follow up when you didn't hear back?
Excuse me?
Did you follow up with them when you didn't hear back?
I haven't ever heard back from yet.
They didn't say we don't have them. You just
right. So I faxed this. I faxed the request, okay. And I haven't heard a denial or anything back yet from them.
Okay. And just again, obviously very serious in your life. And the outcome may have well been available to you at the time. And you talked about the stress and how badly you wanted to hurt. You didn't want to hurt your wife, but you wanted to hurt something that would be important to her. And I'm just a little concerned that you could find yourself in that situation again and how you might react. Again, more of my concerns than anything. But I'm glad you're here. Thank you.
Other questions? Sir, do you live in Stratford?
I do.
Do you have any other witnesses?
No.
Would you like to make a closing statement?
Again, I would ask the board to consider, and I know these incidences, I don't take them lightly, very serious incidences, but they were at a very dark period of my life with a lot of emotional pain and stress. I think, again, what I've learned through that incident, my two children are very important to me. My wife is still very important, but I think, again, we have a much stronger relationship than we've ever had. We communicate. Even with the gun permit, we did the safety course together. We applied together. She was approved. She has not bought a handgun yet because we've always talked about even doing that, and being very responsible gun owners. So we think it's, something that, that we plan to be very responsible. We think it's a privilege that holds a lot of accountability, and we've even talked about what gun ownership would look like in our household, like where we would store it, whether we were carrying in public. So those are all things that. So I would ask the board to just consider my, 57 years of life, no record, no, this one dark period, which was now 15 years ago. I don't know what would be considered a length of rehabilitation, but I think 15 years of no further incidences should speak for something. So that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Detective?
Besides past circumstances, the appellant has been very, all the time dealing with me, he's been very respectful. However, just the lack of documentation, I know it was, from that amount of time ago, but that would have, I felt, would have gone, a long way for sure. And thankfully, the people saw you because obviously nobody wants anything to happen to you. And if they didn't, they actually got put in for a life-saving award, I believe, by the police because you would have been expired at this point. And thank God you're not. Also would have liked to have had your wife here to speak, as far as how things are going, because even like the chief said, you were hurt, so you wanted to make her hurt through hurting something that she loved, and you decided to chop him with an axe. I wanted to see, in her words, it'd be nice to see how you've changed over the years. That's it.
Thank you, Detective. Comments by the board?
I want to say a few things. Certainly this was a near-lethal suicide attempt approximately 14 and a half years ago. And either a letter from the outpatient psychiatrist with whom you met, or that to me would have been the preferable document. The inpatient stay, the fact that you're here indicates that you were discharged from the hospital. The fact that this was 14 and a half years ago, though, still impresses me, even in the absence of the records. It means that that you reestablished behavioral and mental stability over the years. I was also impressed that you and your wife continued to work on your marriage and have stayed married and continued to support your now adult children. I also took note of the fact that, although I don't know if Nancy can confirm this or not, you're reporting that you and your wife sought your pistol permits together. She was granted her permit. She certainly could have had issues with you. And does she have a? And but she has her permit now, and you're seeking your permit. And by your remarks, so that you and she can responsibly enjoy the safe use of your weapons. So all of that information is going to inform my vote.
Thank you.
Other comments?
Someone else? Very serious. One of the most serious cases we've seen here, as far as. I don't know how much time we have to pass for me to say yes, but certainly without the medical documentation, current review and evaluation from a psychiatrist that understands you're applying to carry a pistol permit in public, or carry a pistol in public, carry a pistol in public and have one in your home, I just can't get over that lack of records and lack of medical documentation. So, on the back.
Other comments?
Excuse me.
I'll just add or echo what the detective said. I haven't decided what I'm doing yet, but it would be very helpful to have your wife here. It's very helpful to hear from Dr. Conrad, as always. Would love to see the medical records. I'm sure Stratford would love to see those as well. This is a tough case. I don't know that since I've been on the board anyways, which I think certainly not 17 years like Mr. Cook, but or however long that was.
20.
I don't think I've seen an overt suicide attempt. So I appreciate your forthcomingness. Where I sit right now, I really would like to see the records or a letter from your treating physician, as well as hear from your wife. That was, it was tough for you to talk about, so it was tough for us to hear, and we're really glad you're sitting here. Great. That being said, we'll start with Dr. Conrad.
Well, as I said before, I was impressed with the appellant's forthrightness, also impressed with the seriousness of the attempt, and I'm not going to repeat what I already said, but I am going to vote in favor of the appellant.
Attorney Sinetti.
Well, it certainly is an incomplete record, as you pointed out. And it's a tough call. I mean, I'm sympathetic to the issuing authority and sympathetic to the appellant at the same time. So, as you said, as always, I am going to go with Dr. Conrad. She's the expert, in my opinion, in this field. So I vote for the appellant.
Okay. Mr. Bray.
Appellant.
Colonel Lewis.
Appellant.
Chief Rosenzweig.
Issuing
authority. Chair votes issuing authority, but nevertheless, the appellant prevails 4-2-2. Thank you all.
Thank you. Thank you.